Thank you for listening to this message from Journey Life Center. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at journeylifecenter.org.
A couple weird things have been going on. First of all, a bird got in here, and it was flying all over the place. And I think it must have went up. Maybe it's got a nest up there. So if a bird, you know, it's not the, well, it might be the Holy Ghost fluttering over you. So don't worry about it, but it's still in here somewhere. A bird that flies. It had two wings. Do we know what kind of bird it was? Well, his eyes are on the sparrow. Ooh, that'll work. Praise God. And then just before church, Misty thought, well, I'll check the cameras out, make sure everything's running okay. And on the picture, it looked like rain was falling in here. Well, by the time you find it, it'll be too late. But literally, rain was falling in here. Showers of blessings. So between the rain and the bird, I think we got it covered. This might be today and tomorrow. How many will pray for the service tomorrow, too? Oh, God, send it, send it, send it. Yeah, Sunday. Don't be here. Don't come in the morning. It's not going to work. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Y'all can excuse an old guy, right? Right? Just... Oh, Lord, help me. I appreciate these old songs, all these songs about the blood. You know what the deal is? It's hard to find a modern song about the blood. They just don't sing about it anymore. I think the devil fights it. I don't think he wants it sung. But I'm telling you, like the song said, there is power. Power, power, wonder working power. They're gone. Okay. And I'm not singing alone. Okay. All right. So you're ready for the word, I guess, right? I won't be long after the message. We are going to have communion available for everybody. So we'll be serving. We don't do that too often, but I do want to read the scriptures and visit that. We have communion every Sunday, but we don't ever say anything about it. So I'm going to just say a few words about it. And we're all, if you're able to, you want to, everyone will be able to receive communion all at the same time, right? It's Good Friday. Praise the Lord. So the title of this message is, He is Not Here. He is not here. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, Misty said, you know, I really need to get on this. Do you have any titles yet? and boom, the Holy Spirit just started downloading. And that's pretty cool because I've preached like 44 of these to you and 44 resurrection messages for you. But how many know it's new every morning? And he just keeps giving me. You know, if I were like some preachers, I would just go back a few years and pick up an old one. You wouldn't remember. I could preach last year's, you wouldn't remember. Now, Donna had it written down. Donna, you're the only reason I feel intimidated. I can't do that. No. I don't remember what I preached last Sunday, okay? I don't know. So, but that's not the point. I believe it should be fresh manna. Fresh manna. Come on, not stale bread. Whew. These preachers say, I just don't know what to preach. I got too much to preach. I'm already almost to June. I'm ready to go. Amen? Praise God. Amen. He is not here. So I'm not so much going to just talk about Good Friday itself, but I want to talk about these women that were in, I'm calling it, I've never called this before, never heard this before. But they were in Good Friday mode, Good Friday thinking. And they're coming on Sunday morning to the tomb, okay? And Matthew 28 and verse 1 says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn," which for them would have been a Sunday, "Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see," not Jesus, "the tomb." She came to see the tomb. And God gave me 5 quick points that I want to just develop this for a minute, because we don't need to get stuck on Friday. And y'all have heard that famous sermon that was preached many, many years ago. I didn't preach it, but everyone has stolen it. "It's Friday, but..." See, you all know that message. I could never preach that again. "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." So number one, these women were, and I'm not putting the women down, because they're better, they're dealing better than the 12. They're in a room, the doors and windows are locked, they're scared to death. They're not visiting the tomb, so give them credit. But watch this. Number one, sometimes we look for the wrong thing. We look for the wrong thing. They're looking for the tomb. They're not looking for Jesus. And sometimes we get focused on our problem instead of the solution. We spend too much time, you know, sometimes people come to the altar and, they're all upset about their problem, not even considering that they could walk away from that altar completely delivered from their problem. We spend way too much time worrying and not believing, looking for the wrong thing, the wrong, come on. It's kind of like, let me ask a question, what moves you more? Does the problem bother you more than the possibility? I mean, when God does come through, are you like, "Wow, I didn't see that coming"? Really? We pray by faith. I mean, I've told this story before. I was just barely called to preach, and we had one of those Holy Ghost services. Man, I wasn't leading the service; I was just in the service, and the power of God was falling. We had an evangelist there. It was one of those old timey, "Let's walk the back of the seats" kind of thing, right? I mean, it was nuts. People falling out, the power of God falling all over the place. And I was walking around saying, "I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I can't believe this." And the evangelist said, stopped me and said, "Shut up. What do you mean you can't believe this?" "Well, you know what I mean. No. Let's believe it. Let's quit looking for a problem. Let's stop living for a problem and start living for the solution. Quit looking for a tomb and turn your eyes upon Jesus." Well, glory to God. Verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door." You know, by the way, how does an angel do that, being a spiritual? It's interesting, isn't it? He may have taken on human body. Well, that's another whole sermon we need to look at. When you go home tonight, read Genesis chapter 6. Or never mind. "His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women," we don't see this in the other gospel descriptions, but apparently the women were there when it happened. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is not stolen. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Point number two. He's not always where you expect him to be. They came to the tomb. I mean, they're visiting a tomb. But obviously, they're going to go in if they can. And remember, they in one of the other Gospels, they wondered who's going to move the stone. And but they're looking for him in a dead place. And Jesus doesn't live in dead places. He's a God of the living, not the God of the dead, as it were. Come on now. Listen, you need to understand. He's not always going to do it the way you think he's going to do it. So many times we say, I need a miracle, and here's how I want you to do it, Lord. And Jesus is up there, well, you could pray that, but I got my own idea. I mean, sometimes he needs to take you through some things so that you really appreciate it when you get to the other side. Sometimes he knows better. Sometimes your problem is mixed up with someone else's. Sometimes there's a greater good. Sometimes there's all kinds of things going on. So don't sit there and say, now, God, here's how. No, don't tell him how to do his business. Amen. He will do whatever he wants to do. Quit looking for him in dead places. He's not where you think he is. This is better preaching than you're letting on to. Matthew 28, verse 8. I'm already on point three. Woo! So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Interesting combination. And ran to his disciples, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice! Woo. He didn't say boo. He said, rejoice, because they were probably, well, what is it, more fear than joy? What? I don't know. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Listen, serving Jesus brings great joy and great fear. You need to learn how to appreciate the fear of the Lord. I think one of the biggest problems with the church world today is that they don't fear God. They live any old way and think there are no consequences. See, that's the thing about sin. It's not just the sin that you do. It's the consequences because of the sin. I've heard people say, yeah, but sin is sin. What difference does it make? You know, if I think it, it's a sin. Yeah, well, then I might as well go ahead and do it. I'm glad people don't act on that one. We'd be in a lot of trouble. No. I understand one sin, and I don't know that there's big sins and little sins, but let me tell you something. Sin is sin, I agree. But let me tell you this. Every sin has different consequences. And certain sins have really bad consequences, and others not as much, but sin is still sin. And I don't care if it's big or little, you need to take it to the throne of God and ask for forgiveness when you do sin. Don't ever get to the place where you think you don't need to. Don't ever get to the place where you think, well, God will just forgive me. Really? Really? Go slap somebody and see what happens. Because when you sin, it's a slap in the face of God's face. Now listen, he's not weak. He's not fearful. He's not, you know, oh, you slapped me. It's not that. It's that something's wrong with your heart. Jesus wants you to repent, not because his feelings were hurt. He wants you to repent because you can't get what you need from God when there's sin in your life. Oh, go ahead and praise him. Amen. But too many Christians today have never really experienced the joy of the Lord. Come on. You can go to some churches and you know that's true. Just look at the faces of the people singing. What a friend we have in thee. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of... Every once in a while I'll hear somebody say, well, Pastor, I don't want to fake it. I said, no, I don't want you to fake it, but you either got it or you don't. The question is not whether you're faking or not. The question is, why don't you have it anyway? Why do you not have the joy of the Lord every... Oh, this is too hard. Y'all can't get this. If you can't get it, pass it to someone who'll take it. Amen. Joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. Paul said that, the man who was eventually martyred for his faith, but great joy. Can I get an amen? Verse 11. Looks like you've had a hard fall. Are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. Hard fall. Now while they were going, I keep trying to fix this, but it keeps, okay. Some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. When they had assembled, chief priests, that's the church people. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, you know, the leadership, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. Well, that's stupid anyway, because if you slept back then, even today, if you sleep on watch, they can court-martial you for that, right? You can get court-martialed. Back then, they kill you. You know, you'll sleep. So tell them while we slept, somebody came and stole the body. So if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. We'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. We'll make sure you're okay. So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. In other words, the rumor had legs. And every time people would talk about the resurrection, somebody would say, well, you know, even today, well, someone stole the body. Yeah, someone stole the body. That's point number four. You need to understand there's going to be people that will lie about Jesus. They'll lie about what this experience that we experience. They'll come up with all kinds of reasons why it couldn't happen. It didn't happen. They stole his body. But here's the thing. The people who wrote the four Gospels and the epistles in the New Testament, listen to me, every one of them, when they wrote about the resurrection, starting the first gospel was probably, I think it was Matthew, it was probably around 55, 60 AD. Remember, Jesus died when he was about 33, 34, something like that, right? So they started writing this stuff a few years after Jesus died. Now, here's the problem. When you claim something as crazy as he rose from the dead, you can't write that when the people who witnessed it are still alive. Number two, would you die for a lie? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead and they're just covering it up, who in their right mind would give their life for that? Nobody. No. He rose from the dead. Didn't the Bible say like 500 people? I mean, he appeared to hundreds of people. There are witnesses that are still alive when they're writing this. And it's not just Christian people. I don't know if you've ever heard the Jewish historian, probably the most famous, most accurate. Back then, people didn't write histories very much. Josephus is one of the first guys to actually sit down and write history down. He's considered to be very accurate. He goes back even centuries before Jesus, and he writes this history of that area. Amen. And then there's a chapter there, or in a chapter somewhere, he says, and then in about about the year, of course they did years differently back then, but he talked about a man called Jesus. Now remember, he's a Jew, but he's a secular historian as well. He wants to get it right, get it straight. And he realized that Jesus, and he's writing this about 90 AD, so he realizes this Jesus has turned the world upside down, and you got to talk about it. So he writes about Jesus doing miracles. He writes about Jesus teaching and preaching, and he writes that he rose from the dead. Now, if you're going to be an historian, you don't put stuff like that in your book, because people are going to think you're crazy. But watch this. He did. And understand this point right here. In 90 AD, there were still people alive who saw Jesus after he died. It's like 55 years later. So there are people who were alive still who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. Ah, I just want you to know this is not a fairy tale. He lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Number five. Then the 11 went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted even then. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore," because what he had, he gave us. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end," not to their death, "even to the end of the age." Amen. Jesus says, amen. Come on. Point number five, go therefore. Go therefore. Go therefore. Forget the lies. Forget the opposition. Let's do what he told us to do. What did he says, go. He says, worship him. Take your authority. Baptize believers. Teach the word of God. Obey the scriptures. Know this. I'm with you. Always. And that isn't even the end of the story, because he said, after I go away physically, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You know what Jesus is saying? I want you to get this. If you've been sleeping, wake up. Watch this. He's saying, as real as my physical presence has been in your life, 12 apostles, the presence of the Holy Spirit is going to be just as real and just as powerful. In fact, they, after Pentecost, they wound up being even more powerful than when they walked with Jesus. This thing called the Holy Ghost is real, and it's powerful. Too many Christians are not walking in its power. They're forgiven, but they're not empowered. And we need the power of the Holy Ghost. Go therefore, go therefore, go therefore. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. They're going to come get ready to receive communion.